T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by the Blue Monkey.
New Amsterdam Vodka, it's a premium 80-proof vodka. It's made from the finest quality grains, 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. How smooth is it there, Mr. Big Chest?
It is so smooth, you can drink it straight.
So smooth, you can drink it straight. Now, you don't have to drink it straight. I remind you of that so that if you are somebody who mixes your New Amsterdam Vodka with whatever it is you mix your New Amsterdam Vodka, that you know if you ever run out of your mixer, you don't have to have a panic attack. So smooth you can drink it straight. They got flavored vodkas as well. Grapefruit, apple, peach, orange, mango, pineapple, red berry, coconut, lemon, raspberry. Try one. Try them all. Mix them together. If you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam Vodka's got you covered. Also, they got a gluten-free vodka now. So if you're on a gluten-free diet.
You don't like the gluten diet, is what I'm thinking.
What did you say, Brett Carter?
You don't like the gluten diet. You don't buy into it. You were kind of disparaging my gluten-free lifestyle.
I don't have any issues with the gluten-free lifestyle. Okay. What are you talking about?
Okay.
It's just that when I was a kid, I never heard of anybody who couldn't have gluten. And now all you hear is about gluten-free, gluten-free, gluten-free.
Well, you learn like stuff as you get older, Gary.
Most of us do. But I didn't learn about gluten. I'm just saying, like, it wasn't a thing. Like, if you went to a restaurant 20 years ago, there wasn't a gluten-free option. If you asked for a gluten-free option, the waitress would probably look at you like you're a maniac, right?
Right.
And now it's gluten-free everything. That's all I've ever said. Either way.
They have it.
Don't interrupt me. They got gluten-free vodka at New Amsterdam Vodka. If you need it, go get it. New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com. Jeff Calkins is an award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show. He joins me now. Jeff Calkins, how are you?
I'm okay, GP.
Okay, so today. And the most disrespectful display of award voting in the history of the American Athletic Conference.
Yep.
These maniacs give an award to Jaron Cumberland instead of Jeremiah Martin. Is this what Jeremiah Martin needs to motivate him to cut nets this weekend inside FedEx Forum?
You know, it's interesting because before this happened, I thought they might lose to Houston on Saturday. Now, with a motivated Jeremiah, I think it's gonna make two worst things that have ever happened to Kelvin Sampson.
Mm-hmm. One,
fired.
One, they got a hold of his phone records.
All right. Yeah,
that was one.
Exactly.
And then two. Jeremiah Martin getting snubbed by the American Athletic Conference because now, on Saturday, inside FedEx Forum, he's coming for the Cougars' throat.
Well, I think it's honestly bigger than that. If you could put truth serum in Mike Krzyzewski right now, like, I think he's cursing the AAC because, like, why did you set off Jeremiah Martin like this? And I think he's going to wreak havoc. No, he's... I appreciate the takes and from those who thought. But Jeremiah Martin, all he wants to do, he has been focused on getting to the tournament all year long. He has been, we've understood this is what they're playing for. This is his last chance to get, if he's ever going to play in the NCAA tournament, this is his last chance to play in the NCAA tournament. He had a meeting with Penny last Thursday. Jeremiah talked about this in his last media availability, where he just stayed and talked to Penny about the tournament. And Penny later revealed that what the conversation was really about was Jeremiah saying, am I supposed to feel this much, like, pressure? That's what the last Thursday, because I feel like, and are we where we're supposed to be as a team, and am I supposed to be feeling like this in advance of the tournament? And Penny said, yeah, you are. Like, that's how it's supposed to be. It's tournament's different, and once you start playing, it'll... So the idea that he needed any extra motivation, I think, is silliness. I think it's something you say. But seriously, do you believe you will have any better Jeremiah Martin because he did not win Player of the Year?
No. I mean, think about it in these terms. Barring a surprise, like, I hope to God he gets a chance in the NBA and plays 10 years. That would be amazing. I'll root like crazy for him. I'll put my kids in Jeremiah Martin NBA jerseys. But barring a surprise, these are going to be the biggest games he ever plays in rest of his life. I mean, have you ever thought about it in those terms? That's really what this week is.
Right.
Biggest games these are the biggest games he'll play in the rest of his life. That is probably true. And so when you combine that with the fact that he's chasing a dream that is unlikely, but realistic, and it's now time to go try to grab it. You know, I was in Charleston last night, CAA tournament, and I only bring it up because those kids playing last night are in very much the same shoes that Jeremiah Martin's in right now. You know, on one side, you got Hofstra's Justin Wright Foreman, who's second leading scorer in the country, senior. He'd never played the NCAA tournament, and he was playing that tournament with an opportunity to get there for the first time, recognizing if he doesn't do it now, he'll never have a chance to do it again. And on the other side, you had a young man named Vasa Pešica, who's a Serbian guard, senior, and he's playing for the opportunity to go to the NCAA tournament for the first time and the last time in his life. And only that dream can only be fulfilled for one of those kids. And obviously, Northeastern wins, Hofstra doesn't, so Justin Wright Foreman will never play in the NCAA tournament, and Vasa Pešica will. And when I did the post-game on-court interview with Vasa, because he had 27 points, made 7 three-pointers, he was so emotional, like he really had trouble speaking. And I don't mean he had trouble speaking because he's from Serbia. And I spoke to him the day before, and he was awesome and perfect. He was choked up. He said, I grew up in Serbia, watching in the NCAA tournament, and that's all I've ever wanted to do. I never wanted to score 27 points in a championship game or make 7 three-pointers. All I ever wanted to do was play in the NCAA tournament. Not even win it. Just be a part of it. Watch my team's name pop up on a screen on Selection Sunday. Find out where we're going. Get on a plane. Go to that place. Go through the practices. And take a shot at becoming a March memory. And now that's a dream that I'm going to be able to fulfill. And now Jeremiah Martin finds himself in the exact same situation, and I think it's completely natural for him to feel the pressure of that. I know I would if I were him. And it's a big opportunity that he will either, he and his teammates will take advantage of or not. But yeah, you don't need any more motivation than the motivation that's just sitting there.
Yeah, I obviously hope he plays magnificently, and I think he probably will play very well. I'm not that worried about him. But if I was worried about anything with Jeremiah Martin, it's that it's just the opposite. It's in fact that he is feeling the burden of this moment, because think about this. Really, from the beginning of the season, this is what we've been talking about. We haven't been talking about an at-large bid for this team. We've been talking about, you realize the tournament's in Memphis. If they're playing well at the end of the year, they could win it all. Like, that's been the conversation ever since the season began. And then for a long time now, that's been a formality. We've known that they aren't going to have an at-large bid. And so they really haven't been, they've been playing for seeding, but they haven't really been playing for much. And like, even tomorrow, it's starting against Tulane. This is it. And so my concern about Jeremiah, to the extent I have any, and I don't have much one at all, would be just the opposite, would be that we would not see the Jeremiah we've seen over the past month simply because he wants it so badly. My bigger concern with the team is who else is going to step up. Obviously, it's not about Jeremiah either way. And by the way, Jeremiah could well have won that award. He would not have been an unworthy winner of that award. There wasn't, of the three of them, they could have picked any of them, and you would have said, okay, I see that. There was not an unworthy contender of those three. Jeremiah was certainly worthy of being Player of the Year. If Memphis fans want to be outraged on his behalf, that's great. I just don't think it changes his calculus in terms of this upcoming tournament at all.
Talking to Jeff Calkins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. So obviously the Tigers play at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. If they win, they will play on Friday afternoon. Do you have an answer? And if you don't, I apologize for putting you in a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
But an explanation for why the American Athletic Conference sort of pre-scripted the bracket where this seed's going to play at this time as opposed to waiting and seeing and putting the Tigers in prime time?
I do not have an answer. And I mean, other terms have done it the other way. And it would seem to make
the Conference USA used to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they would
used
make
to.
Sure
yep.
they put Memphis is playing nighttime prime time because we want to maximize our crowds, and having Memphis play at night is the best way to do that.
Well, there's no question. And I mean, I think there won't. My sense is that there will the crowd will be smaller tomorrow because I think it's a little bit like a. If you're following a team that's going deep into the playoffs, that you think is going to go deep into the playoffs, do you spend all your money to go to this game? Or do you spend your money to go to the SEC championship game if you're Alabama and you're going to win? Or do you save it to go to the national championship game? I think people are going to have to burn days off, and they have to spend money, obviously, to go to this tournament. I think people are going to say, you know what? We're going to beat Tulane. I don't need to be there for that one, but I need to be there for Central Florida. Could be the last game of the year, last home game of the year, although they'll probably get an NIT game, honestly, is what then it's probably going to be home NIT game, and it's probably going to be Tuesday. So I actually think they'll get a good crowd anyway on Friday, but it obviously won't be what it could be.
I'm talking to Jeff Calkins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Rob Doster, who's going to join me in the next segment, you know, obviously college basketball columnist, NBC Sports, does some television work for NBC Sports as well. He actually, you know, he all these websites are doing all the same stuff. Like, you know, but here's the bracket, here's projections, here's a sleeper, whatever. And he actually picked Memphis to win the tournament. And so the reason I wanted to talk to him is because you know, we've been taught, you're right, we have been talking about this for months, and we have given Memphis a realistic chance to do it, A, because we've seen them up close in that building, and B, because the computers sort of, you know, back up that like they're not going to be a significant underdog to anybody inside FedEx Forum. But I will say that nationally, this hasn't been much of a story, like the idea that the Tigers in Penny's first year could actually win the automatic bid. So I did think it was interesting that somebody with no real connection to Memphis, somebody who doesn't live near the market, has looked at this from presumably an objective perspective and said, you know what, I actually think they're going to do it. You know, maybe that means nothing, but perhaps it could be, it's something that could remind Memphis fans that, hey, you ain't alone in this. There are outsiders who think you're going to do this too.
Yeah, and I think it'll become a national story. I mean, Penny going to the tournament his first year would be a huge national story
sure. If
it becomes, once people think it's actually feasible. And that means it would become a national story after they beat Houston Saturday, right?
I think if they beat UCF.
You think even before?
I think if they beat UCF on Friday and on Saturday, you've got Memphis against number 11 Houston on national television inside FedEx Forum with, let's say, 16,000 people there.
Yeah.
I think that's something folks start to really pay attention to.
That'll be a moment, but will the narrative there, it'll clearly be, look at what Penny has done with the program, right? There'll be a lot of people there. They'll have a shot. James Wiseman will probably be in the – it'll be great. But will it be, my gosh, look at Penny, what he done already first year. He's on the verge of taking – I don't think that narrative will happen until they get to whatever, if it's Cincinnati. Very clearly, it will be, as you've said all along, it will be a moment. And it will be fun, and it will be – that game would be crazy. I just think Houston's really good, and they have multiple guys. I mean, you saw what they did to Cincinnati. I just think Houston is really good, and so it doesn't mean they can't beat them. Houston is not Duke, obviously. Houston is not some unbelievable juggernaut. And if Tyler Harris hits five threes, which he was doing earlier in the year, and if Keevan Davenport is the Keevan Davenport we see at different times. Totally capable. I mean, of course they're capable of winning this tournament. There's no dominant team in this tournament. It is funny, though. Like, they've only, in the history of Memphis basketball, the only time they have won a tournament where they had to win the tournament in order to go to the tournament was El Paso. And so they've only done it once in the history of Memphis basketball, where they actually needed to win. They've won tournaments before, although actually not that many, but they've won tournaments before. But it would be they win tournaments in their Conference USA, and John's teams are going anyway. They have only won their way into the NCAA tournament by winning the tournament once. And I don't think that was four games. I think that was three games. So this really would be something they've never done before. Doesn't mean they can't do it, but it would be something that they've never done before.
And then, if they were, unless at the risk of getting too far ahead of ourselves, but like,
well, let's get ahead of ourselves.
It's fun to think about because, like, odds are by next week we won't have this stuff to talk about anymore. You know,
right.
Odds are like we're going to be done with these conversations soon. So let's get as much out of them as we can. If they do beat Central Florida on Friday, Houston on Saturday, it really does become the biggest game in the like the biggest actual sporting event in our country. On Sunday. And here's why. Not just because it's Penny Hardaway, one win away from getting to the NCAA tournament. It's you've got every bubble team in America rooting against you. Because they can't have Memphis getting into the tournament. It eliminates a team from the bracket. Like the selection committee, if Memphis is playing on Sunday, the selection committee will have a bracket in place when that game tips off. And they will have a last team in. Now, we won't know who it is.
And that team will get a line through it. And that team will get a line through it.
That team will get a line through it.
What happens, though? And Memphis just goes where that team would have gone?
No. They have contingency brackets.
They have to reorder everything, don't they? I mean,
And it's not as complicated as reorder everything, but they do have they will have a contingency bracket in place. In fact, like at CBS, because I'll be here in New York at the CBS Broadcast Center, we get the contingency brackets. So, like, because we've got to get graphics ready for the show. It's a live television show. They can't just build those graphics in real time. So we usually get the brackets about 20 minutes. And please don't text me and ask me for it because I will get fired over that. Like the bracket leaked a couple years ago, and they were trying to figure out who did it. Like it was they found out, I think it was somebody maybe from Turner as opposed to CBS. I'm not real sure, but it was a big deal. And so every year that I'm in the broadcast center, people are like, you got the, especially coaches, you got the bracket yet? I just sort of I don't even look at my phone because it's, you will get in bad, bad trouble. But my point is we get the brackets probably about 20, 25 minutes before the show actually starts. And there have been years where there is a possible bid stealer still in play. And so they go, this is the bracket if this team wins this game. This is the bracket if that team wins that game. And if Memphis is playing Sunday, they will force the committee to prepare a contingency bracket just in case the Tigers do win that championship game and earn an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament.
We do know. It is established. And I don't want you to give any company secrets or anything. But they are going to have like the toughest bracket playing Kentucky, right? I mean, in terms of the gauntlet, they're gonna make sure that Kentucky and John Calipari have to play the toughest bracket. That's what he's already come out and predicted this.
He's so funny.
How does the anti-conspiracy Kentucky actually unfold when they're doing it? Like, what is it? How open is it? Are they pretty open about it?
Like, do you want to know the truth? This is where it's like John makes good points sometimes, but this idea that the committee or the television networks are against Kentucky is he's out of his mind.
It's insanity.
Because, like, do you want to know what would make my bosses throw the biggest party in the world? Is if Kentucky was
the
in
the national championship.
100%.
Right.
That's all they want. Kentucky-Duke national title game is perfect for everybody. Kentucky is Duke with Zion is the best thing CBS could have. But the next best thing is probably Kentucky and John Calipari. And it's always been that way. So the idea that, like, you want my bosses to be depressed? Let Duke get knocked out early. Let Kentucky get knocked out early. Let Kansas get knocked out early. They have so much data on this stuff, and what the data shows is that the big brands are the ratings monsters. It's not VCU getting hot. It's not UMBC advancing. It's not Loyola Chicago. From a television executive perspective, you want the Loyola Chicagos or the UMBCs or the VCUs or the George Masons, you want them to win one game and then get out of here because you need Ohio State, Indiana, UCLA, Louisville, Kansas, Kentucky, Carolina, Duke, the big brands with big alumni bases, those are the teams that that television executives want advancing in the bracket. So, like, when John starts that, you know, they're going to make it as hard as they can for us. He's just, like, out of his mind because the NCAA, CBS, Turner, nobody benefits from Kentucky not being around as long as possible.
It's funny. The underdog games are only interesting kind of in retrospect, right? They're interesting in retrospect or as they're unfolding. But you don't say, ever turn on the TV saying, got to see Loyola of Chicago. Here's the question. On a non-Zion year, this year obviously Zion and Duke are the biggest. In a non-Zion year, is it Kentucky bigger than Duke?
I think it's Kentucky bigger than Duke because Kentucky's got a larger fan base than Duke. I think it probably is in a normal year, Kentucky 1, Duke 2. But in this year, and I might be wrong, it might be Kentucky, it might be Duke 1, Kentucky 2. But those are the biggest brands. And in this year, honestly, Zion's the biggest brand.
Yeah, it's like, not even close, right?
It's not even close. Like, Zion's the biggest brand.
It's very rare that can you remember the last time a player was the biggest brand?
No. I mean, I don't know. Even when Anthony Davis was.
No, yeah, but he was not. Yeah, it was Kentucky. It was Kentucky with Anthony Davis. It was not, got to see
Anthony Davis. Yeah, but even like Anthony Davis wasn't like, oh, you got to see Anthony Davis.
Right.
He was just great, but it wasn't like you got to see him. It was just like he's great.
He still isn't like you got to see him. I mean, honestly, you want him to be on your team because he's great, but it's not a show. I mean, it is for the Cognoscenti maybe, but it's so, you know, Adam Morrison wasn't that. Steph only sort of became that as the thing unfolded, as that tournament unfolded.
You got to remember with Steph was nothing until the tournament, and then he became Steph, and then he never played in the tournament again. He didn't get back there after that year.
They didn't How many go more to, years did he have? Did he have one more year?
Was he it, played was one more year? He played, that was it, the year that they went to the Elite Eight and lost to Kansas was his sophomore year. And then he came back for his junior year, and they did not make the NCAA tournament, and then he entered the NBA draft. Huh. So, like, Steph is a little bit like Florida Gulf Coast. Like, he wasn't a thing going into that tournament. He became a thing in the tournament, and then you know, he never played in the tournament again. But that's a good point. When's the last time the NCAA tournament, the biggest thing attached to it was an individual player? I'm not sure, but it is true.
Season. With the Las Vegas teams, those were players. Right, I mean, you did think about the players, and back with the Georgetown teams, whether it was Ewing and whether it was Alonzo Mourning, and whether you did think about the players more then. It feels like to me.
Well, they were around more. You knew who they were.
4 years. Yeah,
yeah. They, you know, like you had Patrick Ewing playing 4 years of college, like so they were around more. This is different, but that's interesting. I'll think on it a little bit more, but I do think Zion's the biggest brand in the tournament this year by himself, and I don't know that that's a normal thing. It might be in modern history, an unprecedented thing. Anyway, I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Yeah, good.
Bye-bye. That's Jeff Calkins. He'll be back in studio 9 o'clock. We come back. Rob Doster, NBC Sports.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's going on, man? I'm just, I'm happy to be popular in Memphis again. All you got to do to get on the radio down there is say something nice about the Tigers.
You picked Jeremiah Martin to lead the Tigers to the American Athletic Conference championship game and then win it. Absolutely, people in Memphis are happy to hear from you. I want to talk about that in a moment. But first, a question. We just randomly got into a conversation, Jeff Calkins and I, in that last segment about how, you know, in normal years, like if Kentucky is going to be a one seed, they're the biggest brand in the tournament. Or, you know, if Carolina is going to be a one seed, they're the biggest brand in the tournament. I think I could make the argument that right now the biggest brand in this NCAA tournament isn't going to be Kentucky or even Duke. It's Zion Williamson. Like, he's the thing of this NCAA tournament. A, do you agree with that? And B, if you do, can you remember the last time we were getting ready to have a tournament and an individual was the biggest story as opposed to a team? I had some people on Twitter mention Kevin Durant. KD was awesome, but he was just an awesome player on a four seed. He wasn't the story going into that tournament. I saw people mention Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo was awesome in the tournament, became the story of that tournament, but he was just an awesome player for a three seed when that tournament got started. Do you agree Zion's the biggest thing heading into this NCAA tournament, and do you ever remember that in recent history being the case any other year?
I do not remember anything like this. I think, if I'm remembering correctly, you might remember this better than me, GP, Greg Oden also had like a similar kind of injury thing going on before the tournament, and I think that is what makes the Zion deal like such a big thing, because we know how good he is, right? And everybody loves watching him play, and he seems like just a fantastic individual. So there's a lot going on with him from that regard. But it's the fact that he's a guy that is a game-changing talent on the team that would probably be the best team in the tournament if he's healthy. And we don't know if he's healthy or if he's healthy, if he's actually going to play. And I think that that adds another level of the drama kind of to the conversation. And to answer your question, no, I can't think of anything that is similar to this, because I don't think we've ever really seen anything like this before. I can't remember the last time that a kid in college was the most marketable, and well, maybe the most marketable is the wrong way to phrase it, is the biggest draw in college in any level of basketball outside of like LeBron James and the Warriors. It goes LeBron, then it goes Steph Curry and the Warriors and Kevin Durant, and then it goes Zion Williamson in terms of the guy that you want to go see. And I think that that is part of what kind of plays into this. So it's a unique situation and a unique player, and I think you're spot on. I mean, that's what I'm more concerned about than anything, is Zion going to play?
I'm talking to Rob Doster from NBC Sports. Let's switch gears to the American Athletic Conference, because you published today, NBCSports.com, your projections for the American Athletic Conference tournament. And you've got not only Memphis as a great value pick, but you've got Memphis winning the AAC. And you said, you wrote, that Jeremiah Martin is going to become a conference tournament legend with what he's about to do inside FedEx Forum. What led you to reach that conclusion?
I just think that Memphis is, one, they kind of got hot at the right time. Two, they're going to be playing at home in front of a building, which, as you know and everybody listening to this knows, can get a little bit rowdy when it comes to big games when the Tigers are playing. And it kind of has that feel, right? Like this, I did the numbers today. He's averaging 31 points over the course of the last seven games. He had one game where he scored 41 points and a half. He had another game, the last time they played Tulane, he scored 43 points. He's obviously a guy that can get hot and stay hot. And he just seems like the kind of guy that's going to relish a big moment. So I'm kind of hoping that it happens. And then it's something that I want to see. And I know you appreciate this, GP. It's the great thing about college basketball is you kind of get these guys that come out of nowhere to turn into somebody that we're always going to remember, whether it's like the Bryce Drew shot or Ali Farouk Manesh, that guy from Northern Iowa that hit the big shot against Kansas during an upset. It's moments like that that kind of come out of nowhere that we never forget about. And it just, this situation has all the makings of something like that happening. And I can very well imagine Jeremiah Martin going out and averaging 35 points for this tournament and leading them to wins over UCF and Houston and then whoever in the title game, playing at home in front of 18,000 crazy fans. I mean, everybody knows how hard it is to win on the road in college basketball. You now have the four biggest games of Memphis season, and they're going to be playing at home. I think that is an advantage that you don't very much see often when it comes to some of these major conference tournaments.
And so if they are able to beat Tulane, then beat Central Florida, then beat presumably Houston, they would be in the championship game on Sunday, tipping off at 2:15 Central. That would be the biggest sporting event in our country on that day, wouldn't it? Not just because it's a Penny Hardaway trying to go to the NCAA tournament in his first year, but because suddenly you've got, on Selection Sunday, just a few hours before the selection show, a real bid-stealing opportunity where every bubble team in America is like rooting like crazy for, presumably, Cincinnati, because if Memphis were to win that game, like a team just gets cut from the field. And to have that kind of drama on Selection Sunday just a few hours before Selection Sunday, before the selection show, would have all eyes on FedEx Forum, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that I'm 100% here for. I think that, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I've watched more Memphis basketball than you have, but I get the sense from this team that they kind of embrace moments like that, and two, they're playing with something of a like a chip on their shoulder. You know, I think when it comes to somebody like Penny, when you reach the level that he reached as an athlete, there's a little bit of kind of, I don't want to say like a screw loose, but you have to be a little bit different to succeed the way that he succeeded. And what I mean by that is like Kawhi Leonard, to get to the level where he's at, is just an absolutely insane work ethic. You talk to people that are around Kobe Bryant, and they'll tell you that like he'll work out for 6 hours in the middle of the night, and he's competitive almost to a fault. You know, people know that about Michael Jordan as well. And I think that there's probably something like that with Penny. And what I'm kind of seeing with this team from afar is that kind of coming out down the stretch. You know, one of the moments that stuck out to me was, you know, they lost at Cincinnati by 2 points. But during that game, you know, down the stretch, when it kind of looked like maybe the game was slipping away from them, there was a little bit of a shoving match. Somebody stepped over Jerron Cumberland. I don't even know who it was, but he steps over the conference player of the year. And that kind of boosts them a little bit. And I see that kind of fight with this group, and I'm just kind of hoping. Like, these are the stories that we look for when it comes to college sports. And as somebody that is now invested with a plus 900 future on the line with Memphis, I'm all in with you guys. Let's go Tigers.
Go Tigers, go. I'm wrapping up here with Rob Doster. Last thing before I let you go, this season will either end with the Tigers doing, you know, winning four games and incredibly going to the NCAA tournament in year one, or it won't. But next season, I imagine their preseason top 25 based on what's coming back and what they're enrolling, a top 10 recruiting class. Just before I let you go, your general thoughts on what Penny Hardaway is building at the University of Memphis?
I think it's going to have to be more than just like that one recruiting class. You know, next season is going to be a lot of fun. I mean, we've seen him, GP. James Wiseman is a hell of a talent. He is a guy that is going to immediately make that program relevant at the top of the AAC and probably relevant nationally just from the perspective of, you know, they're probably going to be a tournament team. And when you have a guy that is a potential top five pick, NBA scouts are going to want to watch you play, and networks are going to want to put you on national television, and you're going to get hype heading into the season. So they're going to be relevant more than they are this year, next season. But again, that's just one recruiting class. I don't think that James Wiseman is going to be here more than 1 year. So I'm curious to see how he builds it and how he keeps that momentum moving forward. And I fully expect him to. I don't want this to just be kind of like a one-year thing. You know what I mean? And I think that I don't doubt that he will get to the point where Memphis is once again really good. And I think, at least now, like looking at the big picture, at least with the AAC, you have UCF is kind of rolling a little bit. Kelvin Simpson has that thing rolling in Houston. Temple is back to being good again. And who am I missing? Oh, yeah, Cincinnati is always going to be like a top 25 program. Now you have Memphis creeping up there. Now you have UConn creeping back up there. And eventually SMU is going to get it going again. Eventually you have to figure that Wichita State's going to get it going again. All of a sudden, we're kind of looking at a league that might have like eight teams that are going to be borderline or in the conversation to be a tournament team every season moving forward. I think that's not just a good thing for Memphis, but it's a good thing for that conference moving forward. And, you know, to be frank, having Memphis be good again and be relevant, that's just a good thing for the sport of college basketball.
There's no question. That's Rob Doster from NBC Sports. If you want to see his AAC tournament preview, you can read that NBCSports.com. That's NBCSports.com. Make sure you find him on Twitter at Rob Doster. Thanks for being here, buddy. I'll see you soon.
Always a pleasure, man.
Take care. That's Rob Doster, NBC Sports. We'll be back with Dinner to Go.
Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
If you've been listening to the show for a while, you probably know my wife and I had a little boy at Regional One Health a few years back. And the reason we were at Regional One Health is because it was a high-risk pregnancy that was going to be a high-risk delivery. And we were told by our doctor, Dr. Jacques Sampson, that if he were delivering his child under these circumstances, he would do it at Regional One Health. So we took his advice. I told him, I'm like, listen, if we're going to be trying to break down KenPom numbers, we'll listen to me. We're going to do baby stuff. We're going to listen to you. So we took his advice. We went to Regional One Health, and it could not have been better. Delivery went perfectly. It was complicated, but it went perfectly. The people there, we stayed there for several weeks. They took great care of our son and our whole family in general. But one of the things I've tried to stress subsequently is that you don't need to be in an emergency situation like we were in an emergency situation. organization to take advantage of the great care at Regional One Health, and the East Campus Imaging Center is a wonderful example of that. You know, it's recommended women 40 and up need to get an annual mammogram, and you can get that done at the East Campus Imaging Center, which is located at 6555 Quince Road, where 385 crosses Kirby Parkway. So if you're a woman 40 and up, make that appointment. You do not need a referral. Just make the appointment. 515-3600, 515-3600. Learn more. RegionalOneHealth.org. Let's do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
Whole bunch of stuff, but I wanted to focus on something Jeff and I randomly got into, which is Zion being the biggest brand in this NCAA tournament. When's the last time players were the biggest thing going into the NCAA tournament? I got two good answers from somebody on Twitter. Drew submits Kemba Walker, and I don't know if that's exactly right, but after what Kemba did in the Big East tournament, he was undeniably a big story going into that NCAA tournament. Then, of course, he wins a national championship. And then Marcus brings up the Fab Five, and I think that might be a correct answer. The Fab Five was a massive brand going into that second NCAA tournament after they had been to the championship game the year prior. So those are two good answers. I'll think on it. Maybe we'll get back into it later on this week.
What's the biggest game tonight?
Grizz Hawks, State Farm Arena, downtown Atlanta. Grizz are 28-40 in a race to convey. Hawks are 23-45 in a race to try to pair Zion with Trae Young. Atlanta's a one-point favorite. Total is 220.5. Tip is scheduled for 6:30. Pre-game show coming up a couple minutes right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
What should I watch on TV?
Just basketball, I think. If it's not the Grizzlies, then conference tournament basketball. Like, this is a fun week. You got games going from early in the day till late at night. So settle in with your favorite college basketball tournament and maybe look for a buzzer beater or something. I don't know.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
Yeah, I talked to Rob Doster in that last segment. He is picking Memphis to win the American Athletic Conference Tournament. He wrote about that. If you want to read it, go to NBCSports.com.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
Well, it'll be Thursday. I'm going to be in studio all day, CBS Sports Network here. And then the second I walk off of set, which is going to be right around 4:25, 4:30, I'll be here for the rest of the hour. Jeff Calkins, a little after 5 o'clock. It should be fun. Enjoy your night. I'm going to enjoy mine. Be back here tomorrow at 4. Till then, be careful. Be kind. Be good. Rep your hood.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.